Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Well, the yield curve has inverted. Does this mean the sky is falling? Pull all of your money from equities, shove it under the mattress. Is the world going to end tomorrow? Well, Chris Holdsworth, investment strategist at Investec Wealth and Investment, is in the Fine Music Radio studio for the week ahead. Chris, what a week we have in store. And it really all started with some bloodletting on Friday following that inversion. What does it mean?
Jeepers, this has been the major talking point for the market the last couple of days. And there's a lot already that's been said and written about it. And we're throwing our hat in the ring here. The first thing to note is that this is the benchmark indicator for recession in the year ahead for the US. If you go back over time, with every recession, with the exception of two since 1960, has been preceded by an inversion of the yield curve. But, and there is an important but, the time between an inversion and the recession has been extremely variable, ranging from a couple of months to 2 years. And in fact, as I said earlier, there are two occasions where it didn't happen at all. We can do the technical exercise. We can plug the current slope of the yield curve in, and out pops the probability of recession in the next 12 months. And we use the Philadelphia Fed model for that. And it tells us that there's a 30% chance of recession in the U.S. in the year ahead. But I don't think that's the important message. The important message is one that we knew already, and that is that the U.S. economy is in the process of slowing down. Last year it grew at 3%. Consensus for the year ahead is 2.5%, and for the year beyond that is 1.5%. And so as a result, what the slope is telling us more than anything else, aside from just the fact that it's slowing down, it's telling us that the market is not expecting any further increases from the Fed. And for us, that's the important message. It has major implications for emerging markets in general, and South Africa in particular.
And South Africa in particular, in a week where we are eagerly anticipating the MPC's decision on interest rates, as we discussed last week, it does look like the market and the FRA market are not pricing in a cut this time round. Would it be entirely unreasonable to be surprised by a cut? But I ask this considering Moody's is going to be in town on Friday to give us their ratings decision.
Yeah, I think there are a few things we need to take into consideration with regards to their decision. The first is that the pressure is off now from the U.S. completely. The market is now pricing in a close to 90% chance that the next move from the Fed is down instead of up. And at the back end of last year, the market was saying the Fed's going to hike four times. So the SARB is a very different scenario, background, global scenario now than it did before. And that would suggest that there's no need for them to hike, and in fact that they should cut. Then if you look at inflation, currently 4.1%, it's been within the band for close to 2 years. If you take on administered prices, inflation is sitting at 3.8%. There's absolutely no evidence to suggest that there is demand-led inflation and excess demand within the South African economy. So if you look at that side, then they should cut. And if you look at their inflation forecast for the year ahead, they're probably going to be reduced because inflation has been coming in below the estimate. The rand has been stronger than that, what they were expecting. And even if you put in the slightly higher electricity, given the electricity prices that were granted and the higher oil price, they're still likely to see a reduction in inflation forecast. So based on that basis, they should cut. And then if you look at the growth numbers that are coming out, that have come out thus far in South Africa, you look at retail numbers, manufacturing, mining, very early estimates, just on the data we've got for January thus far, suggests that the Q1 growth number, if anything, is going to be negative. So on that basis, they should cut. So all that, it suggests they should cut, but we don't think they're going to cut. And the reason we don't think they're going to cut is simply because it is Moody's the day after. We think they'll discuss it, and we do think that the cut's going to happen in the next 12 months, and even that's not a consensus view, but we don't think it's going to happen now.
And that is so unfortunate, considering all of those points that you've just raised and the fact that the SARB has proven to be overly hawkish when it comes to its inflation forecasts. And we know the SARB governor has been consistent in his messaging, at least saying they want to anchor expectations around the midway point. But sooner or later, you really have to question at what price to economic growth in a country that is begging for growth right now, but probably couldn't power that growth anyway because of what's going on with Eskom. Considering all of that, you reckon that SA bonds are still cheap? Why?
Absolutely. Yeah. What we've seen over the last month is the entire yield curve in the US come in at every maturity, from the very short end to the very long end. It's part of the reason that the yield curve has inverted now in the US. our yields haven't moved. They've remained steadfastly high. What's priced into our yield curve is for the SARB to hike rates by about 400 basis points over the next 7 years. It's an absurdly high number. There's a large amount of risk currently priced into our bond market. Our spread relative to the US at 10 years is currently around 700 basis points.
Whoa.
The carry trade must be extremely attractive at the moment for foreigners. And once we get the sort of Moody's uncertainty out the way, perhaps it takes an election. Surely, at that point, there will be money coming back into our bond market as it has at any point before when our yields have been this attractive.
I mean, that return is just too attractive to ignore, even for the pessimistic and the cynical who follow South Africa and our geopolitics quite closely. 700 bips is quite something. Now, something you've been tracking and we've been tracking over the last few months is the financial conditions indices. What are they pointing to this week?
Yeah, that doesn't gel with what we're seeing from the yield curve. So the yield curve is telling us, watch out, recession. But if you look at financial conditions, as you say, a series that we've discussed over the last few weeks, it tells us that there continues to be a loosening of conditions, and as a result, we should expect over the next couple of months an improvement in activity. It will still be the case that growth for the entire year will be lower than the year before, but the data for February will be better than January, and January was better than December. And we've already started to see some of that play out. If you look at what's known as a GDP Now estimate, it's derived by the Atlanta Fed. They look at all the instantaneous data as it comes out. Last week, they were saying growth in the U.S. in Q1 was going to be around about 50 bips. Now they're saying it's going to be around about 1%. So there's been a big improvement because the data is improving. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so strange. You've got this improving data, and simultaneously the market saying, hang on, there's real trouble ahead.
Yeah, and commodity prices aren't flagging concern either. So it is very curious. Globally, we've seen retail sales bounce back from a quite miserable December. So, I certainly hope the fundamentals do continue to support a view that perhaps this might be one of those outliers where the yield curve inversion doesn't point to a recession. I think another big uncertainty or overhang in the market is this ongoing trade dispute between US and China. And there's a big meeting this week that'll see Robert Lighthizer and Steven Mnuchin heading to China to engage with Chinese Vice Premier Liu He. What are we expecting to see from this meeting this time round?
You know, the plan thus far is we get the US visit to China this week, the week after we get the Chinese visit to the US, and the timeline is then to get a deal resolved by the end of April, which would be very well received by the market. The sticking point, as it is at the moment, is around digital trade. The US wants the ability for Chinese companies to store electronic data outside of China, and the Chinese authorities are concerned that that would pose a security risk, ironically, given that they're happy for other countries to store data there. Now, that does also imply why they'd want that, but nonetheless. So that is a sticking point. They've got 2 weeks to try and resolve that. We're not entirely clear how important that is for Mr. Trump, who ultimately makes a decision from the U.S. side at least. Is this one of the things that he's going to be willing to give up on? Now, what he has given indication of the weekend is that even should they come to resolution, he will retain tariffs on a certain portion of the goods that China exports to the U.S. That can be perceived as a negotiating tactic going into the couple of weeks. He has indicated before that he likes to remain unpredictable, and I think he's stuck to that in a number of ways. So the next week is key for us. Basically, by the end of the week, we'll have some information leaked on Twitter about the progress of the deal. The week after, hopefully, we get finality, end of April, bang, and then the global market can start to relax about these growth concerns, given what you've said about commodity prices and emerging market currencies holding up.
And if you overlay the Brexit timeline on top of that, and then our election come May 8, it really is going to be what they call in test match cricket, moving day over the next few weeks and months in markets. Chris Holdsworth, investment strategist at Investec Wealth and Investment, with your week ahead, lots to consider, yield curves inverting, bond Bulls had a good week last week, and there's a very interesting debate happening in Germany as well about state ownership of companies that we didn't have time to get to, so we'll have to chat about that next week. Let's cross to Pusoletto for the day's news wrap.